Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have a couple of emails I want to read. Well, two literally. The first one speaks to education. And there's a lady who is saying to me, she's a concerned Barbadian. As a parent of three minors, one at secondary, two at primary, I have difficulty with children attending school 2 days a week and closing at 2 p.m. Since there's been no evidence of community spread for some months now, how come children are allowed to get on a crowded public transport bus but cannot attend school for the full week? What are they not susceptible to catch on the 2 days that they do not attend class that they couldn't catch on the other 3 days? I would also like to know how the private schools that are taking people's money are feeling about facilitating this. Also, there's a serious inconsistency in the execution all across government primary and secondary schools. How is it that the economy needs to get back on track if parents are to stay home and educate their children for the rest of the term? Why couldn't the Ministry of Education hire some of these same unemployed parents as monitors instead of schools and are asking for parent volunteers? How can someone who is not working afford to get to and from the school by public and private transport, then sit around the whole day watching other people work and have them to send the same school their child or children? Give the parents some work that they can spend in the economy while they're feeding their family. And this is an email from a concerned Barbadian. It's interesting that this contrasts very sharply with the initial call that we had from a gentleman who was saying exactly the opposite, that he wanted children to go to school for half day instead of the full day. So that is the way it goes. There's another person who is messaging me and saying that as far as the by-election is concerned, I think the Democratic Labour Party will get the seat because despite cleaning house in the last election, people want a viable opposition and not the apologetic one which currently has in place. Certainly if Attlee runs a candidate, he will be a spoiler. This may be a free-for-all for several independents who may follow fashion and rush at the pipe in dreams of walking up the steps of the parliament. Well, my friend, that is certainly an interesting suggestion. As I was saying to another person, if you believe that someone walks on water, then perhaps you can believe that the outcome of this election will be anything other than what we expect, because I do feel it is a foregone conclusion. And indeed, if it is not a foregone conclusion, it will be a historic outcome, the likes of which we have not seen in this country before, because before that, the most significant outcome in terms of swing would have been the St. John election. I also have a message from someone online who reminds me that the discrimination in employment bill was passed in Parliament recently and has to be proclaimed, and it offers protection against disabled persons, et cetera. So this is in addition to what I was saying just now about persons with disabilities, lending support to the argument that they are being paid attention to, perhaps not enough, but we're getting there. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you? How are you, my good friend? It's been a long time we haven't spoken.
I'm fine. Now, listeners will hear Alvin voice more often now because this is silly season. But I would like to ask Mr. Wickham, knowing that you qualify in political science and you also take polls. Okay? You're listening to me?
I am listening, sir, yes.
Do you know who is the candidate for the Barbados Labour Party?
Who will be in St. John?
In St. George. Do you know
St. George?
Do you know who will be the candidate in the by-election for the Barbados Labour Party?
I have a pretty good idea who it's going to be, yeah.
Okay. You have an idea who it is?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay. Have that person ever contested a seat in St. George? That you believe
no.
Can get it? Huh?
If no. It's who I'm thinking about, the person has not contested before, no.
Oh, okay, okay. Do you know, because I see the taxi man tell you all the time, I like to listen to him, because I know he knows more politics than you, and I believe I know more than you too. I may not know it in the books that like you read them in the university, but I know it on the ground. Do you believe that two new candidates in St. George, the results, no matter who win, will be wide apart like in 2018?
I mean wide apart.
Do you believe the average will be, for instance, One can get 70 and one get 30 or anything. Do you believe it'd be anything like that?
Sir, I believe the outcome in this election will be very similar to the outcome in the last election.
Okay, that is your belief, right? But let me tell you about my belief now on the ground.
Go ahead, sir. Please tell me.
I hear three names running about on the Barbados Labour Party that might get them. The last name I hear is Aurora, but I can't base on Aurora because I don't know who's this Mr. Aurora. But I can tell you this. You know what a person like you that qualify in this area should be discussing and trying to work and hope that it don't end up that way? The people of Barbados was frustrated with the last administration and went to pose the mayor and sweep out all because there was annoyed. And the vote not to give the Barbados Labour Party all 30, but they went to pose in the rear and end up that there. The people are more annoyed now than that time. This is my opinion. Not that I know, because you just know, because your education in political science put you above everybody in knowing what's going to happen next year, in the next 10 years. My opinion, by listening to people from Lantax, Basque, you can name it. The people in Barbados are vexed. Okay? And I'm telling you that we have to sit down, hope and pray that we don't have a turnout like what just happened in Jamaica. This is my belief to be the ground. If there's a strong possibility that this by election could be a low, low, low turnout because of the frustration of what the people came out of and what they end up with. And I can tell you this. I hear you talking because I don't know this Suku. I am a Democrat and I ain't hear Suku near come out yet till today. But if I didn't listen to a gentleman who was on my side up to the 24th of May 2018, on my side, you know, keeping a lot of dollars for DIP up to the 24th of May 2018, and now he's an expert again on how St. George going this time. And nobody could predict St. George. St. George have made decisions that surprised a lot of people over the years. And we don't know if one coming again. But I'm telling you this. I want you as a person, and I tell you it over and over, with the job you have, to be more fair and don't be believing what you believe is it. Let me move on.
But no, Alvin, you can't left it so. No, I'm sorry. How can you say that I'm being unfair? Alvin, I have given you the benefit. I have given you the benefit of objective science. And I've said to you, the Barbados Labour Party got 4,000 votes in the last election.
That is the
part. The Democratic Labour Party did not get 1,000 votes in last election. They didn't even get 800. Right? No, hold on. Let me finish, Alvin. And let me finish. Alvin, I am saying to you that the swing that the Democratic Labour Party has to achieve, if they do achieve it, it will be historic in the case of Barbados because never before has it been done.
I don't understand all that you say already. What I'm telling you, that is what...
But you're telling me that I'm biased. I'm telling you what the statistics and the data tells me.
But just listen a minute, mister. I asked you at the beginning of our conversation, if you know the candidate, and if it's a new candidate, you don't know how the people is going
but,
to get the
all right. Candidate. Suppose I tell you, right, that I know the candidate and I believe that when the candidate is announced that she might even do better than Glenn or he.
This candidate is a person named Mayor Momoli?
As I said, either she or he, I don't know. It gotta be one of the two.
Candidate, I hear the candidates, you know, you might not know, I know. And let me tell you, the one that is the one that is number one. Expected to get it. If I go at the Glee playing field, she can't win. So you laughing?
I'm laughing.
Listen, if I, the one that I understand got the, because outside the meeting, Sunday evening, after the meeting over, a lot of people, they're saying they want she. But let me tell you something. I will go on that playing field and she could not win. You think the place St. George foolish? Let me tell you, St. George...
No, of course not.
St. George they refuse Richie Haynes. St. George people don't vote how you believe votes as well.
All right. Let me leave out that and let me ask you about what you know about the who the DAP sending? The sending about Jephthah?
I don't know.
You're sending Esther?
You know what I mean?
Or you're sending George or Verla?
I don't know. Ask another question.
But whoever you send, you in it.
I ain't say that and you, I ain't know who can name. Because I am telling you that my scaredness, my feeling going into any elections from now is the turnout. Because the people was tired of my party trying its best. And this party came in and promised everything. The promise is that when we get in, we can move the 10% at the port and all the prices in stores gonna come down. And everything up to this week going up, I hear people complaining about the prices. So all the promises, even Sunday, if you have a lot of promises again. But let me move on from St. George.
But I thought you have finished.
You thought I did finish?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this now, Mr.
You know, start.
I'm going to same sex.
Alvin, you could as well don't bother with that issue because you ain't getting away with me and that.
I'm not an embarrassing fella, so you don't think I get on about it. I go in with the law. I go in with Parliament. This is my way of dealing with it. I hear even Mr. Ellis yesterday. That's after I call. Ain't understand the fuss about this same sex and etc. I hear you with it too. And I hear a good few people with that. And I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
The issue with the same-sex issue where I am concerned and the majority of my friends ain't nothing to do with if a man like a man or a woman like a woman or nothing so. Or if the marriage somewhere else and they come here, nothing so. The problem with this same-sex is when it reaches our highest office, which it have never yet reached. If you check what is going on in Barbados, it looks like if a small group of people want laws changed through Parliament to satisfy their wishes. That is what I am against and most of my friends. Mm. We ain't care.
Right.
What is that?
No, I am honestly, I think that at this point, you probably need to stop. Because I see Dennis screwing up his face and he probably getting ready to cut you off anyhow.
I didn't say nothing.
Okay, you're talking nonsense. If you were having a conversation where you looked at the policy and you said, I have a problem with it for A, B, and C reason, but when you start to go down the road talking about somebody trying to satisfy themselves, come off it.
Just a minute, answer this question. Have you ever yet in the history of your life ever heard anything to do with CSS going to Parliament?
You might not be aware of this, but the Parliament of Great Britain passed legislation. Hold on a second. But if you ask me a question, can you let me answer?
But how do you get Britain?
Every single country that has either decriminalized or alternatively has created facilities for same-sex couples to either marry or be in unions other than marriage, it has been done through Parliament. So I don't know of any other way it can be done other than through Parliament.
I ain't said you all shouldn't do it. I am just saying to you, and you're trying to go wrong, and you're not thinking positive. Because all I'm saying to you, that Barbados are not against homosexuality and lesbianism, is that we don't like the direction is going, whereby we
find... I know, I understand. I heard what you said, you know, but I am asking you, if you want to create a legislative environment that recognizes couples, how can you do that other than through Parliament? The only way you can do it is through Parliament. When the government of this country decided that they wanted to recognize common law marriages and give them legal status, the only place to do it is in Parliament, right? What you don't seem to understand is that Parliament saying that you recognize a couple is not saying that you approve necessarily of whatever the couple is doing. That there's nothing to do with it.
Let me give you this one.
When government recognized common law unions, the government was not saying that it didn't think that people shouldn't go before the church and get married in the first place. They didn't say that. What they said, however, was that you determine what you do for you, and we are going to ensure that you receive the protection that the state ought to provide. Final word from you, Alvin, then we can move on.
Let me go up there. Let me tell you this here. As I told you many times before, about 3 times.
If you tell me before, then you ain't going to repeat yourself, because I got a lot of people waiting to get on, and we ain't getting away with this. Alvin, thanks a lot for calling, and we can chat again sometime soon. Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Remember, we're with you until 2 o'clock, which means that we have about less than 30 minutes with you. So we do hope you'll call us on 434-1790, or you can email me directly at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you. They say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller.
Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty well. I called you. I want to discuss a little bit of politics with you. But before I get to the politics, I must say that the voice I heard today of the disabled person is truly a voice that the disabled people should use for advancing the cause. That girl, that young lady was to the point. I think you agree with me on that one.
Yeah, but she was articulate. There's no question about it. And she raised substantial points, yeah.
Now, let's talk St. George by election. I am going to be bold enough to tell you that the Barbados Labour Party will win back the seat by a big majority. The reason why I'm saying that, because the choice of the Barbados Labour Party in Canada, in my opinion, is a person who, in truth and fact, eager to serve this country. The Senate is going to miss that person. That person will meet. You're laughing at.
Say, Uncle Mark, you don't know who it is already?
Yeah.
Are you done to say?
My position, I'm going to give you a run down the road, right? The Minister of Technology, in my opinion, is the person who I believe is the most suitable person to. I'm nothing to do with who the DLP ran. I'm something to do with the person that the Barbados Labour Party that will run, that will be able to take this country forward in years to come. And I'm sure, certain that you would agree with me that that person would come from the Senate. And I'm looking at the position here as far as that is concerned.
I think you may have your senators crossed, though. But anyhow, you carry on.
No, my senators are not crossed.
You may got your senators mixed up, but you're the senior person, Uncle Mark. So you go ahead.
Hold on. I am of the opinion that the young lady in the Senate, who has been just elevated to the position of tourism, will not be the candidate for St. Thomas. Will not be the candidate for St. George. Most likely, maybe the candidate for St. Thomas or St. Michael North. I am of the opinion that the candidate for St. George, respectable, well-learned, and will take Barbados forward. She will make women proud of her. And men proud of her. And I'm going to the extreme to say that anytime you're dealing with a kid, you're dealing with somebody with a, so I just use the first name. And I think that she is a brilliant person. I've listened to her in the Senate. She's outspoken, she's determined, and I think that would be the choice. So whether the Democrat Labour Party run, whether it be Sukou or whoever it is, they don't stand a chance with this new candidate from the Barbados Labour Party for the Senate. Hold on. So I can see chances that the Barbados Labour Party has materials to put down words. Now, take, for example, I have just mentioned the young lady who is the Minister of Tourism. But I can see her in a position. Take, for example, nobody's looking at Chad Blackman. You know Chad?
Yeah, I know Chad.
Right. I see Chad as a replacement for the minister in St. Thomas, which would mean that I see the young lady going to another height. That has been the representative. She's brilliant enough to do that, going to be representative at Geneva. And bringing Chad home to win another exciting victory for the Barbados Labour Party, because Chad has been clearing the Barbados Labour Party's portfolio there before he went off to study and when he was at the university. So when you look at the material that is in when you look at the material that is in the forces of the Barbados Labour Party, this material is forceful material that the neither opposition. I read where Affleck said that he is running a candidate. Affleck got to understand fully that he got to take the name out Affleck together. People don't talk about the PDP. People don't talk about his party, they talk about Affleck. And that is not, and he should read between the lines that calling his name as a likable, a person responsible for leading. He has to remove himself and project the name of the party more so than project himself. Now, the question I want to ask you, Peter, is since we are pulling the Senate so many people, what has become of Lucille Moore? Senator Moore. I've not heard of
Senator who?
Senator Moore. Moore, M-O-E.
Yeah. I don't know. I wondered about that myself, but I think that we'll soon know because the Senate meets this week. One assumes that if the Senate meets, that Senator Moore will be there, but she wasn't present for the last two sessions. I don't know if she was ill, but I'm curious myself to know what's become of her. I have to tell you though, Mark, that Uncle Mark, I'm sorry, you have to get to know my manners. I have to tell you that I still have some difficulty with your assessment of the Senate options available for St. George North. I feel you might be wobbly a little bit where the Senate selections are concerned, but I respect your view because you know more about BLP politics than me. You've been around them for longer.
The leader of the party, hold on a minute, Peter. The leader of the party have already seen the material that she has.
That's true. It's true.
And when people ask about this lady that I just mentioned, it's only within recent times that people realize that this lady ain't easy. She's forceful. She's a good orator. She's proven her point as far as holding the Ministry of Technology. And as far as I'm concerned, she is in St. George in the sense that people are talking about her in St. George.
Well, I would tell you that I know people are talking about her, but I have heard the two government senators that you have mentioned. I've heard of them being earmarked for other areas. I've heard their names called in other constituencies. And it reinforces the point I was making before that the Barbados Labour Party is in a really good place now, because you have a Senate that is filled with people who are good talent that's available to you politically. And you have a number of senior members that are not likely to run again. So you're looking at St. Andrew, you're looking at St. Michael North, you're looking at St. Thomas. And I mean, these are all people who are in their evening years as far as politics are concerned. And you have a reservoir of young talent in the Senate waiting to take over. I compare them with the PDP. And it's interesting that the PDP is saying that they are ready and they're going to take it on. And I just heard Reverend Asley talking about taking Barbados in a different direction. Reverend Asley has some issues that he needs to address. But nonetheless, let's not deal with that now. But the significant thing is that I haven't heard the mention of the two senators that he has as being options for St. George. And one would assume that if you are running a political party, the Senate is essentially the training ground from which you would draw your main resources to put them into parliament. So he's saying that he's going to run in the seat, but he has ignored my friend Caswell, who would be the logical person. He has ignored the other senator that he has there. Are he going for somebody completely different? And my question is, if these two senators that he has up there are not interested in politics or running for the seat, what are they doing there?
You see, the problem here, Peter, and I know you would love this, right?
I just heard the music, and I thought that me and Dennis was going to go off fight because it's only 43 past.
Right.
Okay.
Situation here.
Yeah, continue.
The situation here is that you have to be certain about your voice in Parliament in the next sitting. And I'm going to be fair. The young guy Gibbs that is running is St. Michael West. It's creating a havoc against the sitting member. So this is another opportunity that I consider that would have been lost to the PDP, in the sense that the respect that Attlee had or the people have for athletes in the West. The athlete has not returned that respect, and that is not fair. So I'm saying that the Barber Civil Party has a very straightforward run in terms of, if I take Michael North, I can see the Barber Civil Party have two candidates for Sir Michael North. And they're both female. And the same girl who's just been made minister, young lady who's just been made minister, obvious good candidate for Sir Michael. Or the other person will be the person who's in the background there doing excellent work. When I look at Chad, and I say Chad, the candidate for the PDP to run in St. Thomas would have to be the Senator Caswell. And that is Caswell's only hope of recognition as far as politics and Barbados is concerned.
But Uncle Mark, you know Caswell ain't running in the seat too. You know Caswell ain't running. You know Caswell ain't going out there exposing himself to the kind of lashes and body blows that he would go take if he ran for. But Caswell like doing what he doing. He could go there on a Thursday, start up and cuss people, and leave and go along by his business and go home and play with the dog. Cause that's what Caswell want to do. You think Caswell want the harassment of running for a seat and going begging for votes? Caswell ain't doing that. And the other senator that he got there, she ain't doing that neither.
But
so the whole thing about them being a political party, in my opinion, is a farce. It's a farce because it is not a serious political party. When you look at what you have just explained to me with the Barbados Labour Party, it's clear the Prime Minister has an agenda politically and she has resources. She has them placed in the Senate and she's saying, look, if she has to rotate, she can move in and whatnot, because that's how you run a political party. You have a political party that you're running and your main parliamentary resource is filled with people that are interested in the politics. And I keep saying, which seat is Caswell interested in running? And Caswell's not going to run in the seat, and you know that too.
Well, you see, the thing is, if he's on the ground with a candidate from the party, then there's a possibility not the candidate will win, but the candidate will be known because of his foot in the terrain of St. Thomas over the years. But let me wrap up. Give some words to Sam. I'm all pleased saying, and I want it to be documented. That the candidate for St. George will come from the Senate.
Okay.
And it is not the person is going to be a minister.
I think so too. Even though we may disagree on which senator, but I think that the candidate will come from the Senate. And I think the candidate will be a six. Not a four, but a six, a home run in American terms, from what I'm hearing. Thanks a lot, Uncle Mark. Good chatting with you. Apparently Winnie called me earlier talking about the life certificate. I just got an email from another person, a WhatsApp message from another person who also deals with the life certificate. She's saying if Winnie can make contact with me, I can put Winnie in contact with this lady. And she's saying that there's correspondence that identifies a phone number that you can call and give the required information. The phone number, of course, is less than DHL. Even though you have to hold on for a long time, ultimately it will be better than giving it via DHL. So there's a phone number that's listed on the document. If you don't have that information, Winnie, make contact with me and I can put you on to the lady. I know you have my number because we have chatted, and I can put you on to the lady and she can give you this number where you can call the UK and convey the information a lot more easily than sending it through the package that is being proposed. So that's an option you can pursue. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, and you?
Man, I'm good.
Right, that's good to hear. Now, when it comes to the buses and the stopping and things, I spoke a little bit about that yesterday, but the time was so short for the people, the visually impaired people. I don't think they got many more. From what I've seen, as a visually impaired person myself, I have not seen any white cans in recent times. I see a kind of aluminium can, which folds up very nicely, a state-of-the-art can. But what I'm saying is, when one travels over the world, and you're at a bus stop, if you go to England, you're at a bus stop, in France, in the United States, you don't have to put out your hand to do anything called stop a bus. The bus stops at the bus stop. And then you see the bus. We got the bus, and we got the bus stops now marked to city. So if you're staying up by a bus stop that says to city, and a bus coming down the road, they should stop at that bus stop and inquire of you politely if you want that bus. So look, you can see that bus that only goes to the city. I can understand it coming out of Bridgetown or wherever that may have different destinations to travel, but yet the bus should stop at the bus stop. You know, often these private vehicles stop, minibuses, I think they'll stop at bus stops all the time. But the transport board bus leave you pass like an exam and go on about business. And I think that the time has come when the persons in the transport board should educate those people. This morning we're talking about etiquette and various other things and initiatives. The transport board should try to educate their drivers to stop at bus stops for putting out your hand, because several tourists come to Barbados, for example, and they're not accustomed to this thing about putting out your hand to stop anything. And therefore, they stay at the bus stop sometimes for a long period of time because the buses just pass and go along, especially the transport board buses. So that is something that needs to be changed.
Sir, I am. I'm going to make your life easy. I tell you that I'm with you 100%. right. I have heard experiences where a lady from New York told me that she stood up at the bus stop and she was wondering, like, where are all these buses passing? Until somebody told her, you got to push out your hand. And she was like, but if I would, what would I be doing standing up at the bus stop if I didn't want a bus? And I mean, it makes so much sense. If you were you going to stand out there like, if you stand out there, it must be because you want a bus, so stop. So I agree with you. It's just the policy has to be changed, and I think that maybe the time has come that the policy ought to change that says, look, if there's a person at the bus stop, stop, full stop. Unless, of course, the bus is full. If it's full, then you pass it.
Long to stop. It's stopped.
Yeah.
Well, right. Yes, the next point I want to make is this. I know you like this one bad. The whole question of using the technology for persons, generally speaking, of all kinds. But when it comes to the persons with disabilities and the technology in terms of the cards that you use for the machines, there's not enough machines around Barbados, because lots of these people still have to go to Bridgetown or go to some special places to get an ATM to draw off the money or whatever it is, or do the transaction, whatever that transaction is. I know that cards, I think, going through the door, I don't know how much more, what. There's not much education coming out about what happens after carriage leaves the landscape. But more and more, I think that when you go to the United States, you can get a card that is in Braille. You can get a card. There are lots of things you can do that the technology is there. But the banks in Barbados, they're trying to take away more money from you than you have when it comes to depositing your money on their accounts. And I agree with Emotional Dennis. If they're not serving your property, move the money from there, put it somewhere else. But when it comes to the ATMs, this is something that we should be looked at in terms of people visually impaired and in terms of other persons with disabilities. That we need to... Go ahead.
No, I just want to ask you a question, because I understand how the ATMs work with Braille, and there are some Braille ATMs, but my challenge is understanding, is it better for a person that's visually impaired to have access to cash from an ATM and then pay for services in cash? Or is it better for that person to have access to a credit card? Because how does a credit card work in a situation where the person can't see what comes up on the reading? Even if you have like one of these touch systems where you touch, how do you know that the person who is selling you the product hasn't put in a figure that's higher?
That's true too.
How does that work?
A normal person, normally somebody will go with somebody to the ATM, but they do their own transaction. They put in their figures. I can remember there's a young lady, when she goes to the supermarket and she takes the money out or whatever, it's because there's a way to do it. I mean, you'll be surprised to know that there are apps on the phone. Like, for example, if one wants to know, there's an app called Be My Eyes. So you want to find a green shirt, a yellow shirt, or black pants, you say, just go and say, tell Google or whatever it is, open my eyes. And you ask, Be My Eyes, and Be My Eyes person tell you exactly what you have in your hand. If you want to read a business card, they read it for you, and they tell you exactly what telephone numbers if you want a telephone number. All those kind of things. There are lots of apps available that persons can use for that purpose. And I remember some time ago, I attended a meeting in a different half of the Wheelchair Foundation, which we still need some money from John and Jim Public to help us provide those wheelchairs, over 1,600 The charity have given me a 5 years free of cost to persons suffering from these NDCs and amputations and things like that. I await your contribution, Peter, to the Wheelchair Foundation of Barbados, because we provide these wheelchairs and we don't do prosthesis yet, but we provide another so they can walk, walkers, so they can walk. And it's amazing the amount of wheelchairs that we have given away in a 15-year period because of the various non-communicable diseases that they have in Barbados. And that's something I can remember going to a meeting with the same disability unit to discuss a proposal or some kind of paper to enhance the whole mobility of persons in Barbados with disabilities and things like that. But I have not heard the results of that discussion that we had for about 3 or 4 hours in workshops and things like that. I want to know where that has gone. And I'm trying to find out, too, as I speak to you, what is the number of disabled persons registered with the disability unit. Because, you know, in Barbados, when somebody has a disability, they don't want the next door neighbor even to know. So, like the people in the closet, they don't want you to know. Well, I can't see, or I can't walk, or I got some kind of something happened to me. They don't want you to know. That's typical Barbados. Whereas in the, I hope people say, the outside world, that people just don't work, don't give two hoots. You just go there and do what you have to do, disabled or not. And that's something you have to look. But I think the buses should really stop at the bus stops and take people who apparently need to go.
I support you in that, sir. And I also do agree that we have started on a journey in terms of inclusiveness among the disabled. We have to continue that journey. And, you know, I welcome certainly the opportunity using this program to contribute to the conversation that has to continue regarding ways and means that we have to further integrate the disabled community. If one way of helping is having buses stop at every bus stop, then I don't really see the problem because that's what should be happening anyhow. But sir, we got Rendok. I want to try and get him one last call before the time come. And I already see Dennis moisturizing his hands, and that's usually an indication that he's getting ready to leave the building. So let's see if we can get another one in. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Pretty good. Now, the whole issue of implementation deficit. Now, we have all these so-called experts in terms of that are paid lots of money. Now, they do policies, and the policies oftentimes, they are not au fait with the areas that they do the policies for. So when they do a policy, it is not implementable. So then the technocrats have to go down and try to decipher and see how to implement. It happens in budget speeches, et cetera, where and this is a problem we are going to have all the time because you pay people to do it that don't have that expertise. But obviously, they are being paid as consultants, et cetera. But then when you give the civil servant to implement, be it whatever, there's a problem where when we want to implement that now for it to be workable. So they don't give the idea. Let's say they might have very good ideas, but they don't give the idea to the technocrat. They want to hide it to bring this fancy policy. But then nothing happens. What is your view?
So I think what you're saying is something that I can't disagree with, that there are implementation issues that we have had that we continue to grapple with. I feel like we are probably doing a little better at implementing, but yeah, though we have some challenges as a country.
We are doing better.
I think that we're doing certainly at the political level, I think that we're doing better at implementing some of the decisions that have been taken.
I am not seeing it. Hopefully, as I said, the people will take somebody into their confidence when they are doing the policy so that it is easily implementable. When you bring it to Parliament, the next day, bam, it gone through.
Yeah.
Unless you...
We had some challenges. We had some challenges for a few years. I remember there were a lot of initiatives that were in the budgets, were successive budgets. And a lot of them were not implemented because they were facing challenges in terms of implementation. But as I said, I think that we're doing a little better where that's concerned. No. Anyhow, final word from you, sir, because we're going to have to run.
No, we just need to get to trust the technocrats that they're not going to let the cat out of the bag and let them do some work so that we will have an implementable policy.
All right, sir, that's a good point at which to end this program, and I want to thank all of you for helping the time to go as quickly as it did. Special thanks to Dennis Johnson, who was the man in the chair today. We had a group in from the National Transformation Initiative, Allison Leacock and others, and I want to also thank them for their participation. Make sure you check out the website to see whether there are any training programs that may be of interest to you. Special thanks to Dennis as the producer and to all of you who made the program what it was. My name is Peter Wickham. I look forward to being with you in the hopefully not too distant future. We take care. Bye-bye.